All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now with a touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Everybody, welcome to Puck Off. I'm Joe Bartnick. Frazier, our captain, once again, is out. He's in Detroit dealing with a family issue. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a bona fide star, a television movie actor, big LA King fan. Let's make a big welcome to Michael Vartan, everybody.
Thanks for having
Michael,
me.
Michael, thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks for
this
having
me. This is great. You were the star of Alias for a long time. You've been in movies with Robin Williams, Jane Fonda, but I don't want to hear about any of that. You got to drink out of the Stanley Cup.
I did.
I mean, now there's something that we can talk about.
Yeah, it makes all my, career accomplishments pale in comparison. Not only did I get to drink out of the cup, Kopitar lifted the cup with some beer in it and was feeding me the beer out of the cups.
And we were just talking. We actually did a podcast, I think, outside in the lobby for half a and you get two guys talking hockey, it doesn't get any better, but we both love Kopitar. So, God, what a thrill.
Yeah, he's also the nicest guy ever. You would never know the dude's a professional athlete. He's so humble and sweet and kind. And, that's one of the reasons I love hockey. For the most part, you find that a lot of the players are like that, you know.
Oh, 100%. That's truly why I love hockey. Dude, just such great guys. I mean, I told you I interviewed a few Kings, and I actually screwed up Kopitar's name. I caught him on. First, I told you I got starstruck. Uh-huh. Like, oh, there he is. Like, he goes, it's actually Andre. He couldn't have just been a dick and walked away.
Right.
He was the coolest guy in the world. So you were at game six, or was this like a Kopitar's house or something?
No, I've never had season tickets, you know, just because for schedules and stuff, it's tough to make every game. And yes, that year, for some reason, I got season tickets. And of course, I was at every home game, every playoff game. So I got to really live through that Stanley Cup winning year. And it was phenomenal. The eighth seed in Vancouver, we won that game, that series 4-1. I was surprised because yet again, Vancouver wins the President's Trophy and, you know, gets booted in the first round. But yeah, that whole year was just magical. And, throughout the years, I've been fortunate enough to meet some of the guys, and so, like, I'm friends with Luc Robitaille, and so he facilitated me going to the after party at Staples and sort of hanging out with Mike Richards and Jeff Carter and all these guys and watching them just sort of let their hair down and really, you know, just soak in what they've just accomplished and have a few beers. It was amazing. It was literally a dream come true.
Yeah, it was incredible. And I was so happy for the city of Los Angeles to get a cup. All the diehard Kings fans. And I was so happy for Daryl Sutter. That's who I gave my biggest cheer to.
Yeah.
And he stepped in and just made the right decisions.
Absolutely.
Because you could tell they had that kind of team.
Uh-huh.
Just had that, you know, they brought up King and they brought up Nolan, a little toughness, and then boom.
Yeah,
they got Carter.
That certainly doesn't hurt.
No, he's been killing it too this year.
Absolutely,
he's great.
He's just such a pure shooter. The guy will shoot from anywhere. He'll shoot from his couch. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what the angle is. He'll shoot from absolutely anywhere. And he probably has one of the hardest wrist shots. I mean, that thing is a laser.
Yes, and he's playing with the right guy too now in Kopitar.
Yeah, well. They've been mixing and matching quite a bit lately, which, I'm not necessarily a fan of, but Daryl certainly knows a lot more about the game than I do, so it's been working. They're on a tear right now.
Well, he's looking to keep it fresh probably after 82 games. I think in the playoffs is when you don't want to switch them up as much as possible.
Right, absolutely.
As much as possible, you know. Well, you know, I think they're going to miss, though. We were just talking outside, though. I mean, the Kings are really primed. I mean, they just won like 9 in a row. Eight in a row, maybe, but last night they lost to the Blackhawks. But, you know, last game, I think, of a long road trip.
Yeah, it was a four-game road trip. They had two back-to-backers. You know, they destroyed Montreal. That was fun. 6-0 in, you know, at Bell Center, and then found a different way to beat Toronto. Toronto that actually played a really good game.
Right.
And beat Ottawa, and then, yesterday we kind of ran into an angry Chicago team.
Yeah,
got spanked by Toronto the night before.
Yeah, so. I thought like that wasn't a good. They ran into a buzzsaw there.
Yeah,
a little bit. It's never good to go into someone's barn if they've been like embarrassed.
But you know, I was looking at the power rankings, as they call them, this morning, which I don't really put much stock into. But the Kings were number 2 behind the Blackhawks, so I was very excited. Chicago's sick, by the way. Can we just talk about the Blackhawks for 5 seconds? That team is just out of control. I'm not a fan of them because I'm a Kings fan and
right.
in our conference. But Patrick Kane, I have never, ever seen a player who creates more space for himself than this guy. I actually think he has the best hands in the history of the game. He is such an insane dangler. He never gets hit. No one ever hits him. He's like Gretzky. No one can ever get that guy to hit him. He is so incredibly aware of the space and where he is and people around him. Kovalev had great hands, Datsyuk obviously, but you watch Kane's hands, what he does with the puck at full speed during an NHL game against grown NHL defensemen, it's sick.
Well,
I don't understand it.
That's how you don't get hurt, when you skate with your head up.
Yeah.
You can dangle. Too many kids today skating with their head down there in these no contact leagues. And they come to NHL, they get drilled, and they're like, oh, what happened? Well, you had your head. I mean, we can talk about this later, but the whole Brooks Orpik hit with Erickson. Why does Erickson always get concussions? Because he has his head down. That's what happened to Lindros. Skate with your head up.
But, absolutely.
I think Chicago is the is going to be the – would the term be fly in the ointment? Is that the term you would use?
Yeah.
I think if they can beat Chicago, they're the best team in the West. I think the Kings are the second. Kings are the second best team in the West.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to put Anaheim and San Jose, as much as it chagrins me to say that. You got to put them in the mix. St. Louis is actually primed. They remind me of the Kings in 2012 a little bit.
I've never been a fan of the St. Louis Blues because Ken Hitchcock, you play that dirty, cheap, garage league hockey all the time, right? But then in the playoffs, everybody does that. So
right.
then you have to learn how to score goals.
Uh-huh.
And that's where they always fall short. I think Anaheim has a great team, but they're not as good as the Kings at every level.
Not quite as deep. Yeah.
Yeah, just not quite as deep at every level. I think their dynamic duel, Getzlaf and Perry, I think they might be better than like what the Kings dynamic duel at the very top.
Yeah.
Very top. But if you need a goal. But other than that, I think at every level, I think the Kings are just a little better. And then you put Barbecue Boudreaux. And I mean, everything. If you call everything else a draw, then it's like, well, now, you know, on the card, you got to give it to Sutter.
Yeah.
It's Sutter.
Yeah, no, you're right. Getzlaf and Perry are there's talk of them being on the same line for Team Canada in the Olympics. So, you know,
yeah.
that's saying something right there.
but like the finals last year, the final four. Bruins, Kings, Penguins, and Chicago. Any one of those teams won, it would have been like, no surprise, no upset.
Exactly.
You know, those are the best teams. I mean, I think the Kings are going to miss Scuderi, though.
Yeah, well, we missed them last year, you know. This year, yeah.
Yeah,
well, of course, he's such a character guy. He's such a, you know, he's a really quiet player. He's not very vocal, but he leads by example, and he's got so much experience. And like we were talking about earlier, you know, sacrificed his face in game 6 against the Devils to give us that nice 5-minute major where we scored 3 goals. But no, he's one of those players that will do whatever it takes. And for the most part, I think that is kind of the norm across the National Hockey League. Those guys, there's no other sport in the world that has so little I in it. It really epitomizes the team game. These guys play for the team. They sell out for their teammates like no other sport ever.
And look at Scuderi, literally saved the cup for the Penguins. He jumped in front of the puck as Fleury might not have got there.
Exactly.
Made the save, sacrificed his face. He has 2 rings on pure sacrifice.
Right.
And those kind of guys win cups. Although, you know, the young Kings defensemen, Voinov and Muzzin, I mean, you had to make room somewhere to get those guys in the lineup.
Yeah, no, the Kings, you know, and Manchester, they've got some really good young talent down there that's, you know, ready to come up. Like, look at Toffoli. You know, he came out of nowhere and he's scored like 9 goals in his
first. Oh, yeah, that kid's good.
Yeah, and he's 20 years old. You know, he's a baby.
It's amazing how young some of these kids are. They're like, and they learn it. They're learning. I mean, I don't know where Toffoli's from, but
I don't know. I think it's from Toronto.
I know Ole Mata. He's been playing with the Penguins since he was 18. He's been playing every game. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, from Sweden or whatever, came over, didn't speak English,
right.
You know.
Right.
He's playing, you know, he's 18 in a different country. He's playing 18 minutes. Now, because of all the Penguin injuries, he's like our number one defenseman.
Right.
The kid's 18 years old. Like, when I was 18, like, you know, I was just worried about buying beer.
Yeah. Ditching school and playing soccer and buying beer. It's like,
you know,
what do you mean I have responsibilities on a National Hockey League level? I don't understand that.
So what's interesting, though, is it was interesting is you actually still play hockey.
I do. Not very well, but I love the game. I love playing it. I play two or three times a week in a little rink in Burbank, California, little pickup league. It's just such a great sport. It's one of the few things I have in my life where when I'm playing hockey, and I'm sure you can relate, I don't think about anything else. It's kind of like church, therapy, and exercise rolled into one. It's such a mind. You're just so zenned out. You know, you don't think of paying the bills or career or any kind of problems you might have. When you step on the ice, it's all gone, and you're just so engrossed in the game. I've never had anything in my life that gives me that. So
no, I mean, I'm just thinking, please stay up. I have no time to think of anything else. Like, I should have bought a better helmet. Why am I not wearing a shield?
Exactly.
This is crazy.
You don't wear a shield? That's nuts.
Yeah, well, the helmet I had with the shield was just so tight. I was like getting migraine headaches. I'm gotcha. Like, I'm going to go old school. I'm kind of like, you know, I'm a fifth liner in the comedy leagues. Everyone's nice. So you actually play in celebrity games as well, right?
Yeah, once in a while when they'll have me. Those are such a blast.
Who's like the best celebrity player, you think?
Tyler Kitsch.
I'm sorry, is he a celebrity?
Actually, might not even be his name. I think he was on that show Friday Night Lights. No, what is it?
Taylor.
Okay.
Okay.
But I think he played at a pretty high level as a kid when he was like 16 or 17. I don't want to say juniors because that might be too high, but he's... Like, he's a hockey player that's turned actor, whereas I'm just an actor who happens to play hockey.
So. Right.
But, no, there's some good players. I've played with, Mike Myers. He's a hockey player, believe it or not. He's pretty good. Alan Thicke likes to play, you know.
Does Alan Thicke wear a helmet?
He does.
He might just go old school
He wears a helmet, and now he wears a cage because he used to only have a half shield or something, and he got, like, three teeth knocked out a couple of years ago, so now he wears the full cage.
Whoa, that's pretty funny. Someone went up high on Alan Thicke.
I think it was just a puck. You know, someone took a shot, it deflected into his grill, and he's like, "You're an actor. What are you doing? Not wearing a cage? What's wrong?"
Does anybody go at it like too hard for like what that they should be?
Sometimes. You mean in terms of celebrities?
Yeah, you know, just all of a sudden, Alan Thicke has a bug up his ass, and he's like running people or something. You know what I mean? Just not even running someone, but someone takes it. I mean, in our comics league, you know, we have like, you know, 15, 20 guys. It's all just either from Pittsburgh or Buffalo or Detroit or Canada. And it's always, you know, one or two guys, you know, they think they're regaining their glory. You know, Matthew Perry out there, you know, dangling?
No, Matthew's actually a good player. He hasn't played in... forever. I'm friends with him, and he came out and played a couple months ago, and he hadn't played hockey in maybe 10 years, and he suited up and he looked great. I couldn't believe it. It was kind of annoying, actually, because I don't play for 10 years. You know, I'm done.
Yeah. You look like you're in amazing shape, though.
But, you know, there's one...
Oh, yeah, your hands go.
There's a huge difference between normal everyday life shape and hockey shape. I take 2 weeks off. I can hit the treadmill and go to the gym and eat healthy, and I go back on the ice, and it's gone. You know,
that's what makes hockey such a great sport, because even the best of the best, they can only go a minute and a half at a time.
Right. Absolutely.
And then they're near dead.
Yeah.
Let's talk some more stuff. But who's your favorite king of all time?
Ooh, of all time?
You can name a couple. Yeah, we have an hour.
I loved Luke, Lucky Luke growing up. Rob Blake was to me.
Oh, Mr. Blake.
Yeah. His big rear-end hip checks, you know, just devastating people into the boards. I cannot believe his number's not retired at Staples. It should be.
It's
that guy.
Not?
No. But hopefully it
will be. Is there just bad? Is there weird blood or something?
I don't know exactly. There, you know, it's hockey's a business also, as you know. And when he got traded to,
Colorado.
He went to Colorado or San Jose for Colorado, then San Jose.
Yeah.
The fans turned on him. There was this whole perception that he wanted out. And I don't know exactly what happened in terms of the contract and how it was structured or whatever went down. But, you know, it's a professional business. Guys need to do what they need to do. And, you know, whereas Luke went to Detroit to win his cup. And when he came back, he was hailed as the, you know, the,
the I know. Hero. Well, he went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. So
I Luke is the I lived in Phoenix for a year, and that was before they had a hockey team. So there's a lot of LA transplants that lived there, mm-hmm. and all the girls just loved Robitaille.
Yeah.
They were like, there's the only way you could talk hockey with them was like, I love that Luke guy. Yeah. He's so cute. But he was, I mean, I think he retired, and I think he still is the highest scoring left winger of all time.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, sure is.
Yeah. That's, I mean, just, right. and
I mean,
just
think the, about that. Think of all the players that have played the game. He's the highest left wing scorer of all time in the history of the game. That's an incredible accomplishment.
No, it's insane. Well, it's weird, funny how the politics of it, though. Because, you know, like Jágr, you know, mm-hmm. Jágr gets booed every time he touches the puck in Pittsburgh, which is the most absolutely ridiculous thing on earth.
Yeah.
He's only, you know, I mean, he's the second greatest Penguin by far, and he's the greatest European player in the history of the NHL.
Yeah.
So booing him is, you know, he got you two Stanley Cups, not to just keep reviewing history, but he did two things that changed the franchise forever.
Right.
Like if he didn't beat New Jersey when we were in bankrupt court on one leg, the team would have went bankrupt. They would have like just been disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, but people who just joined up after Crosby, they're going
to
boo.
Right. I think a lot of those people who boo because it's fun to boo. I don't think the booing is necessarily, you know, sort of an angry or a vindictive or a, you know, sort of we hold a grudge.
Well, if you had,
but I don't know Pittsburgh.
So. Well, I think all would have been. I think he wouldn't be booed, but he went to Philly.
Right.
Yeah. For a year. Yeah, for so sure. That's, you know, that's like then you're going to get booed.
Literally, I mean, sleeping with the enemy.
Right. But, you know, but they love Talbot. And Talbot's the, I mean, you know, Jágr left and he went to D.C. and then he went to the Rangers and he went to Europe. And he went to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Talbot, like, his beer was still warm in the South Side. Like, he left a half a beer and he went to Philly. Like, yeah. I was more. I'm still pissed about Talbot for that, to be honest with you. But Rob, you know, it's great. Rob Blake now, you know, half his hits he'd have to fight over.
Yeah.
Because no, they were just completely clean, but devastating.
Devastating. You know, that's one thing that, you know, the league has changed so much, obviously, in the last 15, 20 years. This whole new slew of, you know, the headshots and trying to clean up the game and all this stuff. You know, what I'm seeing a lot of is guys will make a devastating clean hit, and some guy, the enforcer from the other team, will come over and try and, you know, knock his teeth out. And we've got to stop. A clean hit is always going to be a clean
right.
hit. There's a lot of guys going after other guys because it's a clean hit. Let it be. You know,
right.
like the Erickson hit. I mean,
100%.
Orpik, that was a great hit. And I totally understand that, you know, you want to try and send a message and don't do that again and
right.
the whole Thornton thing. But that was a great hit, you know?
Yeah, every clean hit now is backed by a fight and it's got to go.
It's ridiculous.
Because, I mean, I totally see, I won't speak for you, but I'll ask you. I mean, the reason why you love the game is because of guys like Robitaille and Malkin and Fedorov and guys that make plays. Sure, I love a violent hit. But if I don't want the Scott Thurtons of the world running around giving headshots,
sure.
I wanted to see the talented guy score goals.
Right. Yeah.
No, you know,
being a Kings fan, I wasn't watching Steve McKenna and Matt Johnson. You know, I was watching Gretzky and Robitaille. I was watching the talented players do
right.
what they do. And so when those guys are, you know, when a player from the other team goes after your top talent, I totally understand the whole, you know, the code and the policing and the enforcing in the NHL. But as far as just making a clean, honest hit, that they've just got to let that go. But guys are getting hurt. The concussion rates are going through the roof. You know, I don't know if it's a combination of, you know, medical science being a little more, you know, just refined and better now than it used to be.
Right.
Because back in the 70s, 80s, guys were getting concussions left and right, I'm sure. It just wasn't such a big deal.
It was called getting your bell rung.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, a little part of me says get back in there.
Right.
But then because I've had so many concussions, I always have ringing in my ears, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know what it's like to get your, you know, to get hit really hard and you have a concussion. So I don't want to play that card either. But I think the elbow pads are too hard.
Shoulder pads too. They're like shells.
Yeah. It like, used to be they just a little pad. I think I used to wear no pads, but you know, a little shell and that's about it. So I think
it was I was listening to NHL radio the other, I think it was Dennis Potvin. He was saying, you want to get rid of all these headshots, go back to the old pads. The old leather pads. Guys today are going so hard, so fast into boards and into other players because they're not afraid. They're not afraid to get hurt.
Right.
There's absolutely zero fear. I'm not saying that they were afraid back in the 70s or the 80s, but there's zero fear of personal injury. They're launching themselves like missiles into other people. And, you know, something's got to give.
Oh, it's hard plastic. It's like steel.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think there has to be a point, and it may be a lawsuit on the NHL. There's going to be a point where like every headshot's going to be 25 games, and then it's going to be gone. Once the first suit, because I mean, look at the NFL, whatever, they start getting sued. Now all of a sudden, you know, James Harrison's kicked out, suspended for 2 games. And now there's no more, I mean, there's like one headshot every, you know, so often.
Right.
You know, it's not like the, it's just an epidemic, because what I can't stand is that's what, you know, like, I mean, I'm happy that hockey has its own network on NBC and I can watch all the games. I could give two dumps if it's on ESPN ever again. But what they do show on ESPN is, oh, look, here's the incident where the guy's got his head get knocked off. Right. They don't show the great goals or the super save or what's great about hockey.
Right.
They just want to show the one violent act of an imbecile.
Yeah, that's very being such a purist and such a, you know, hockey lover, that's really frustrating.
Right.
It's, you know, there's so many great things about the game that aren't publicized or shown to the public enough. And you're right. It's, oh, look at this guy, you know, crawling off the ice because he doesn't know where he is. And but, you know, a lot of that, I think, also in the game today, for the most part, the guys do have respect for one another. But there are a couple guys out there that just, it's, you know, it's obvious. It's just a lack of respect for the other player. And that's what's dangerous. You know, when you got guys that are leading elbow first into a guy's grill, they know what they're doing. I know the game's fast, especially in the boards where a guy's turning at the last minute and you thought you were going to hit him in the shoulder and he ducks and you smash his face in the boards with your hip. That does happen. But there are guys that are nasty and do look to hurt people. Like the James Neal thing on Marchand.
Yeah.
That was so disgusting.
Yeah.
First of all, James Neal doesn't need to do that. He's one of the best players in the league.
Right.
He intentionally kneed a guy who was on the ice, completely defenseless. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, yeah, it was Marchand. Everyone hates him. But that's not the point. The point is that he took his knee, and the leading point of contact was his knee to another human being's head.
Right.
You just can't freaking do that.
And it's like the third time he did that.
He should have gotten 20 games.
I love that my favorite player right now has a great winger with a great wrist shot? Yes, I love the fact he's Malkin's winger. I've never been the biggest fan of his game because, to me, he plays soft sometimes and he does stuff like that.
Right.
You know, like he always checks a small defenseman. He's never running Chara. Mm-hmm. Like Kunitz, you know, I think Kunitz is the best checker in the league.
Oh, he's fearless.
I mean, he's like Dustin Brown.
Yeah.
Just the perfect, almost the perfect height where if you're too tall, you're going to be elbowing people in the head. If you're, you know, he's like the perfect height to get in there, crush people. He's going to end up playing with Crosby, talking about dynamic duels.
Yeah.
For the Olympics. But that's the guy whose game I love the most is Kunitz. He's probably, I mean, I just love his game. You talk about just an honest hockey player.
Honest. Yeah, hard worker.
And Dustin Brown, too. I love the same way I love Kopitar, is I call him the West Coast Malkin. Like, just, I just love Kopitar as much as I just love Dustin Brown's probably, in my heart, probably my favorite. Because he's absolutely what you want in a hockey player and in a captain.
Absolutely. Talk about leading by example. guy just, he will absolutely do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, his teammates pick up on that. I can only assume it's incredibly motivating when your captain is selling out the way he does game in and game out. You know, you kind of want to do the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I love hockey, because it's like, in football, everyone hits.
Right.
But in hockey, it's like, how much of a man are you to hit? Like, you don't have to. I mean, obviously, you don't want... They actually bitch at Crosby for going around hitting people, like, you know, don't get hurt. You don't want, like, you know, Gretzky hitting people.
Right.
But in the same sense, it was funny because Elder, I forget his first name. He's a defenseman on the Canucks.
Alex Edler.
Alex Edler. And so, you know, I mean, that's why I love, like, you know, like Scuderia will always take the hit to make the play.
Right.
Now, this is just a regular season game, but the guy was coming in on Edler, and he just totally lollygagged the puck, like, I don't want to get hit, and turned my back.
Right.
Literally was in the back of his net in 10 seconds. I know. I mean, I know it's November. I'm the only one watching on the NHL network like 11 a.m.
Right. But
that's why I was thinking, like, that's why I was bitching. I'll tell this story. So then it literally cut back to the bench, and I mean, Tortorella is just crushing him on the bench.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, that's what I love. He's like, take the hit to make the play. And then even Tortorella knows, I understand it's November 8th.
Right.
But you got to take the hit to make the play if you want to be respected.
When he went to Vancouver. I didn't know how that was going to pan out. I was so excited when, in that press conference, he was talking about the Sedin brothers having to block shots, and I was like, "That's going to be interesting."
Oh, I thought they would have deported themselves by now. Yeah. I honest to God didn't think they would.
They're on fire right now. They've won like 7 in a row.
Yeah,
they just had a 5-game homestand. They won 5-0. You know, it's so funny, this perception of the European players versus the North American players. I used to have this notion, oh, the Sedin twins, they're so soft. All they do is whine and bitch and cry. There's not a single soft player in the league. There are players who maybe aren't as tough or gritty as others, but if you're playing in the NHL, you are one tough son of a bitch. I don't care if you're from Sweden or Russia or, you know, Kamloops. You are a tough SOB.
Yeah.
And you watch those guys play, they get hammered game in and game out because they have targets on their back, and they're tough. Watching the Canucks a little more in the last few years because the Kings have played in the playoffs, and I've gained a lot of respect for the Sedins because, you know, people make jokes about them. Like, I was in Vancouver working last year, and the big joke was, you know, two girls, no cup.
Right. Well, that was the sign at the Kings game, which I thought was like the best thing I've seen in 20 years. I mean, since the Islanders had the big sign against Gretzky, the Empire Strikes Back.
Right, right.
That was this century, my favorite sign was it was right behind the bench too. It was class. You were at the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if you had on the big screen, because it was at home, you could see it. Everybody is. That's funny because I was watching Detroit play Pittsburgh, and they were still talking about when Malkin just dropped the gloves like in game 6 in the finals and just beat up like Zetterberg and Datsuk, and they're like, he should have been suspended for that because of his reputation. It's like, yeah, that's one thing, the difference between, well, Sid will go nuts and fight, Sid will drop his, but they want him to tone it down, you know?
Right.
But that's the thing, Malkin is even crazier.
Like, yeah, he's nuts.
Malkin's got some KGB shit in him. He's got that little Messier where like he's gonna take somebody's head off. Like, he does not
care. Like, he flips a switch and game on.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just great to see. You know, and he's having a great year. He's hurt right now. He got hurt. It was terrible. So we have to rely on Sid for everything.
I didn't realize I was coming on for the Pittsburgh Penguins hour.
And sometimes it boils down. That's why when you're saying, oh, talk about how or what were we talking about? Crosby. Plays whatever game. Well, thank you. Someone else can say it now. Remember, we were talking outside.
Yeah.
Crosby compliment. I go, well, you can say it on the air, so it won't be like me. Well, that's why we had a bunch of Flyer fans in here the last few weeks. So it's like,
yeah, no, I mean, you know, Sid's one of those players. You either hate him or you don't, or you love him.
Right.
He's a very polarizing figure. I personally, if I was a GM starting a team, I would pick him over anyone in the league. He's such an incredibly hard worker. For a guy who has that much talent to work as hard as he does, maybe that's why he's so talented. But they go hand in hand. And I think, you know, he's one of the most underrated player in terms of his work ethic and how he prepares himself for games. He's just a stud. You know, you cannot like him for whatever reason. You cannot like him because his answers when he's interviewed are too cookie cutter or he's too soft or whatever you want to call. But on the ice, man, that guy is an absolute gamer. I mean, he's the best player in the world. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, I try not to say that every week. I was pro Taves. You know, a couple of weeks ago, because I really think, like we were talking, I think he does the role of captain. He makes no mistakes.
Right.
And he plays hard, and he can score all the, he can score. He might not get the highlight goal that Crosby does, but you know what? He won't give away the 3-on-1 5 times in a week that, you know. And I mean, it's
good. There's some great captains around, you know, like Shane Doan, Phoenix. That guy epitomizes what a captain should be.
Oh, absolutely.
I love that guy. I hate the Coyotes. There's a few teams in the league that I despise just because, you know, they're Kings rivals, but
are you a Ducks despiser?
I'm not a Ducks despiser. Put it this way, you know, it's been a long time since the Ducks and the Kings were good at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're talking about this rivalry and the Kings versus the Ducks, and to have a real rivalry, both teams have to be winning because otherwise, it's just not really there. So I was, you know, I actually rooted for the Ducks when they won their first cup. Believe it or not. I want them to do well, but when they play the Kings, of course, I root against them. No, I really despise the Canucks and the Sharks.
The Sharks, yeah. The Sharks are the big one.
But the Canucks even more so in the last few years. That playoffs, the diving and all that nonsense, and just, it was, I just, they didn't, in that series, they didn't play the game of hockey the way I like to watch, see it played.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but that's just the way I like hockey. I like on, like you were talking about earlier, honest, hard-nosed players who don't dive, who don't try and embellish.
I agree with you 100% on that point. I thought they embarrassed themselves in that series.
They really did.
I lost respect for them in that series.
And when Mike Richards fought Burroughs and beat the crap, I got a chub. I got it. I swear to God, nothing made me happier. I was yelling at it's like the Kings that scored a goal. I was yelling, God, kick his ass.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's funny because
especially him.
I was pissed we got him at first because, you know, he's a Flyer. And it's like, and I like Simmons. And I'm like, oh my God, you gave away Simmons for the guy I hate. It almost took him to reunite with Carter. I'm like, okay, I'm good with everything now.
Right. Everything's come full circle.
Yeah.
But no, you know, I mean, the NHL is such a great league. The league is made by the players in it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one league I hate is the NBA. I can't stand it. I can't stand the entitlement, the arrogance that these players have. Love football, love college basketball, love baseball. I love every sport. MMA, golf, tennis, you name it, I'll watch it. But the thing I love so much...
You watch tennis?
Yeah, absolutely. Tennis is awesome. Tennis is the most underrated physical sport ever. Have you ever watched a tennis match live?
Oh, it takes like 7 hours.
Have you seen how insanely hard they hit the ball and how hard they run? It's incredible. Guys are doing power slides on cement now. It's insane. You watch Djokovic play Nadal, it's ridiculous. The amount of physicality in that game. Anyway... Tennis is for another day.
It's interesting. I see it. I know it's hard.
You watch it on TV, it can be totally boring. If you don't like the sport, there's no reason to watch it. But if you ever go to a live tennis match and sit sort of, you know, at the lower levels, you will be absolutely blown away by the physicality and the athleticism and how hard these guys play. It's incredible.
Now, do you like women's tennis too?
Yeah, not as much as men's, but I do. You know, I mean, I won't watch a first round match between, you know, a girl from, you know, Georgia and a girl playing a girl from, you know, South America. But, you know, when Venus is playing or Serena or top five.
Oh, she's in. I think she could beat a lot of men. Not like the top men.
No.
But probably a lot of men.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think she could come close to beating a guy who's ranked 1,000 in the world.
Really?
Yeah, the men's game is a different animal altogether. So I mean, she's like, amazing. But
so it. All right. No, I don't know because I'll watch women's soccer, and I like it more than men's soccer. Not European league, you know, not European league, but like just like the normal American girls. And my daughter's soccer coach said that's because American men are so good with the ball that there's no screwing around. Whereas when a woman gets the ball, she might not collect it, catch it, pass it evenly all the time. So there's more open balls. Does that make any sense? I mean, you have a soccer background.
Yeah, a little bit. I
guess the point is because like women's hockey doesn't appeal to me at all because it's such an inferior. It's like so inferior, like women's basketball. Whereas women's soccer, I guess to the non-naked, I don't mean like, you know, when they're breathing snow in the British league,
right?
But just like the normal, like in North American soccer, the women's soccer to me is almost like the same to me.
Right.
Whereas that's why I feel the way with tennis. To me, it's like it looks the same to me.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. The thing, look, I was raised on soccer. I love it to death. Cannot stand the ridiculous amount of diving and the fake. You know, the guy gets barely touched and he's rolling around on the ground for 10 hours holding his right leg when the guy hit his left leg. I mean, he doesn't know where to hold himself and, you know, try and get a foul or a yellow card. It's really sickening. The one thing I love about the women's game, women don't do that.
No,
they don't do that. Yeah. They play almost with a hockey mentality.
Right. You know,
they go out there and they play the game. And when a women's soccer game gets nasty, it's fantastic because they really go after it.
Oh yeah.
And you know. Again, it's one of those things, women's soccer, women's tennis, men's tennis, it's one of those things, until you've seen a game live,
right,
and you've been close to the action, you don't realize how fast those girls are and how good they are. On TV, it looks slow. Yeah, it's slower than the men's game because they're a little bit slower.
Right.
But if you see them live, it's quite a spectacle. They're phenomenal athletes, first of all. They run nonstop for 90 minutes. You know, I run for 2 miles. I need a defibrillator or whatever.
I can't run across the street. I can't even, I don't even have shoes. I buy shoes now where I don't have to tie them.
Yeah, I can't.
So run. I can just slip on my shoes because it's like bending over. My wife's like, I can hear you breathing in the other room. It's like, I got time to tie my shoes. No, but you know, we're getting back to hockey though. That's what I mean. Like, you know, I hate the guys that dive in hockey. It's, I mean, the Brad Marchands, you know, they get bumped, they fall back. Oh, right. My God.
You know what? Like, Dustin Brown does that a little bit. You know, he does embellish a little bit. But there's a big difference between diving and at a crucial point in the game trying to give your team an advantage.
Right.
If Dustin Brown takes an elbow to the face, he will, you know, lurch his head back a little more than maybe it would or should have.
Right.
And if he gets a penalty out of that, he just got a two-minute power play for the Kings. And that's great. I have no problems with trying to manipulate the rules a little to get your team an advantage. When it's blatant diving, though, it's not... Get that shit out of the game.
No, it's two different things where a guy legitimately elbows you in the face. So, hey, I can snap my head back and get a two-minute call.
Right.
Then, like, oh, a guy stuck his stick out. I'm going to trip over it, right. Even though there's no...
Exactly.
Even though I can easily get away from it. You
absolutely.
Know? That's two different things.
But there's so little of that in the league. You know, the league is really made up of guys who just... Their character, their integrity. You know, a lot of these guys are from really small towns. Hardworking, hard-nosed, you know, backgrounds. Their parents raised them well. They're polite. They're humble.
Well, I mean, to get back to your point about the leagues, is because hockey players and baseball players, I mean, unless you're Sidney Crosby... You've rode the buses.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what it's like to be a nobody.
Yeah.
You know, in the NBA, those kids have been given everything since they were like 8.
Right.
So, yeah. Of course, they're going to feel entitled.
Yeah. Look, and you know, you remove the word no from a 17-year-old kid's vocabulary, it's tough for him to sort of, you know, be able to assess and manage all this new money and all. It must be really hard. But, yeah, no, basketball's nuts when it comes to, you know, just the – pounding of the chest and me. They should actually remove the nameplates and put them on the front of the jersey and just have the logo of the team on the back.
Well, they said they're going to start doing nicknames.
Oh God, Jesus, really?
So yeah. I mean, yeah. I think on Christmas Day they're all going to have nicknames. None of them.
Remember when
the
XFL launched and there was that guy, he hurt me or whatever.
Yeah. you know what's funny is I think McMahon was about 20 years ahead of his time. So I think the way that Goodell is enforcing hitting and no fun, and I think people are looking for a league where you can't go over the middle anymore.
Right.
I mean, I'm not nearly the football fan I used to be growing up because I think this. I don't like five wide receivers, and there's a million. It's like flag football now.
Yeah, I love football. I always will. I think of all the sport, free agency has really hurt football the most because you don't have those true hateful rivalries anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, everyone plays, all these guys on opposing teams, they've played with each other at some point. You know, the Cowboys and the Redskins or Chiefs and Raiders, those rivalries where guys played on the same team for 10, 12, 15 years and twice a year they would meet each other and they knew this game meant more because they were going to play against this guy who they literally hated.
Right.
This wasn't a joke. There was literal contempt for one another. And free agency sort of taken that out of the mix and added parity. So I missed the era of dynasties in all sport. It was kind of fun.
It's well, like, absolutely.
Who can beat the 80s Oilers or Islanders? And that's gone. You know, every year there's out of the 32 teams in the league for the NHL, there's 16 teams that can win it. You know, every year there's a team that's a Cinderella story that goes far. And look at the Kings. We were an 8 seed when we won.
Right.
They were a good team.
They were a good 8 seed. Well, that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to redo like the old Patrick and the Norris and the Smythe and their because the playoffs now, you have to get out of your division.
Right.
So they're trying to build inherent rivalries.
Yeah.
Which, how do you feel about that?
I like it. I like, playing teams in your division a little more. I think it does promote, you know, throughout the course of a season, a little more disdain for one another. Last year with the schedule, with the half season was weird. Calgary played at LA on back-to-back nights.
Right.
And then we went to Phoenix back-to-back nights to play Phoenix.
Right, and nobody played the East or West, never met.
It was weird. It was funny because in both those mini series, if you want to call them that, by the second game, there's, you know, some stuff had been brewing from game one.
And absolutely.
They got to take care of business on the night after, and I like that. It's kind of fun.
I like the divisions. I don't know. I don't like the wild card aspect. Because what's going to happen is Pittsburgh's going to have to probably play like a tough Montreal team because they're the fifth seed over in the other, as opposed to playing like Carolina. And not always to make it about Pittsburgh, you know, but it's the same thing. I just like the four, that the West is a dogfight.
Oh, my God.
The West is a dog. I mean, the three teams in California can all win the Stanley Cup.
We could get four teams out of the Pacific Division. You know what I mean? I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Kings, Sharks, Canucks, and who am I missing? Ducks.
Ducks.
All four of those teams are going to go, I think, you know.
Yeah, the Sharks just cooled down a little bit. I wrote a column that this, I thought this could be their year. When the Kings were in a little bit of a funk, and I'm like, you know what? If Chicago just doesn't win it because teams just don't win it back to back.
Yeah.
I thought, but now the Sharks are coming back to earth a little bit.
So if Chicago wins again this year, that's three in five years?
Yeah.
Or three in.
Well, it went Chicago. Philly? It went Pittsburgh, Chicago, Boston, Kings.
L.A.
Yeah,
Chicago. So it's kind of like a mini dynasty.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know what though? They did it right, but the Kings kind of did it right. The Kings didn't have the monumental problems that the other teams that we just mentioned. Because I think the Penguins kept around everyone too long. I think Chicago did it right. You keep your five or six guys that are the team,
your core guys,
the stars, and you get rid of everybody else because you want your third and fourth liner guys hungry.
Right.
You don't want guys entitled on the third and fourth line.
Yeah.
And they didn't pay Niemi, who's a great goaltender who certainly upgraded the Sharks, but they didn't pay him that big. In the salary cap, you can't pay a goaltender that much.
No. And, you know, I mean, you look at what happened to Quick with his injury, and, you know, I forgot what his deal. It's 8 years for $7 million or whatever it is. And he goes down, and these two kids come up. We got Scrivens in the trade but for Bernier, but this Martin Jones kid.
Martin Jones is
nine years old, and he's just lighting him up.
I mean, he can't. He's knocking Scrivens. Scrivens couldn't get a game in on that road trip. He like unscored upon. What am I?
Yeah, he was shut out.
Yeah, scoreless
pitching
streak.
A shutout. Yeah, yeah. It was insane
for like 100 and some minutes.
I'm joking. Let's trade Quick to someone for like, you know, a top line scorer of 40 goals. Let's trade Quick to who's got goaltending problems right now. Well, pretty much everyone except
well, no, yeah,
well, Pittsburgh's.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, well, he couldn't. Well, you know, next year, knock on wood. Let's hope Florida doesn't have an implosion 3 years in a row.
Yeah, that would.
But next year, I'd be up for Quick and Harper. I'd be up for Scribbins. Hell, I'd be up for Jones.
Yeah, no, he's
next year.
He's,
you know
what I like about Martin Jones is he's so calm in the net, and he sort of instills that sort of calmness to his defenseman.
Yes,
he's just such a reassuring presence back there. Don't get me wrong, Quick's an amazing goalie, but you know what? He had the playoff of a lifetime when
yes,
we won
he
the
did.
Cup. First of all, we don't make the playoffs without him. Down the stretch, we had to win like three of our last six games or whatever it was to make the playoffs. We make the playoffs, and he basically won the cup for us. He made some of the most spectacular saves.
100%.
The following 100%. Year, especially the playoffs, the series against Chicago, he let some of the softest goals in I've ever seen. And, you know, it was just, he's just a really emotional goalie, and his style is very flashy. You know, he's going to make some of the most spectacular saves you've ever seen, but also he lets in a couple of goals from center ice.
He's like Fleury.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's exactly like Fleury. I almost think that it's more like a not philosophical question, but it is kind of a philosophical question, how much money in today's day and age of a salary cap can you put into a goaltender?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like, is $8 million really buying you that much more than $5
million? Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, I think that, yeah. I mean, that's what makes it kind of interesting.
And also, you know, a guy like Quick, the way he plays such a physical style. I mean, his hips and his rotator cuffs and his knees must be an absolute. He must spend 2 hours in an ice bath after every game. He's such an incredibly physical player,
and he's 12. Have you ever seen his body? I mean, I met him a couple of times. No. He looks
like a kid.
Dennis the Menace,
right?
Like he's
but
that.
You know that
looking.
Style of goaltending. I don't know about longevity for him. Just physically, will he be able to stand up to the punishment? Whereas a guy like Martin Jones or Brodeur, for you know,
right.
There's an example of a guy who was very compact and minimal in net, and still playing. How old is he? 42?
Yes,
something like that. And still playing great.
Yeah, but with the Devils, you know, with the left wing lock, he saw like he didn't see hardly any of the shots that Quick is seeing.
For sure,
Quick is an amazing goaltender. But I look at their four. They traded Bernier. I thought he was amazing. I can't believe he didn't win the starting job. I can't believe that he's fighting for his job in Toronto. I thought they'd hand him the keys.
Yeah,
that's why I picked Toronto to be even stronger. To show like, yeah, Bernier. Right. And then you got Jones. You got Scrivens. Scrivens is playing great.
He's playing great. The professor.
Yeah. So it's like that's my partner loves the professor.
I love it.
Yeah, but that's amazing that you know they're from. But then you look, okay, well, they have all these goaltenders. They could trade one of them. But what do the Kings really need, do you think? I mean, other than bringing, like, possibly Scuderi back. I mean, I don't know what they really need.
You know, Mitchell was hurt all of last year.
You're right.
He's come back. I love that guy. I love the way he plays. The intensity he plays with is phenomenal. But he's still not back to being himself.
And he's missed a couple here and there, right, this year? Yeah.
Matt Green got hurt. I love him. Greener's just such a
He got away with one, too, last night.
Yeah. And we lost Scuderi, as you said. So, we could definitely use a sort of a big, gritty, stay-at-home defenseman. Regier's been great for us.
Yeah, I think Regier fills that role. Because, I mean, I think in today's day and age, I don't know. Those guys just look – the guys that you always, like, in the 90s think, that's who you want for the playoffs, line them all up. They all seem slow nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like the game kind of changed.
And, you know, we've got Voinov and Doughty. And Muzzin, to a certain extent, is a really good puck mover, good skater with the puck.
I think Muzzin's an up-and-comer. Yeah. Voinov is amazing.
Yeah, and Martinez is kind of in and out of the lineup, depending on who's hurt or not. But, the Kings are looking good. You know,
that's what I mean. You know, up front, you know, like, yeah, everyone could use, like, a big goal scorer, but, you know, you have a lot of goal scoring, you know?
This team has great chemistry. They all really like each other. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of teams have that kind of chemistry, but... And they just play a heavy style. They roll those four lines and they'll dump the puck in and they'll just punish the D and they'll create a turnover and get it loose, send it in front, and Kopi scores. Or, you know, I mean, we're talking about Carter. His wrist shot is just insane.
Yeah.
And Mike Richards is one of those guys who, you know, when you watch him play, he's slow. He doesn't have good hands. He doesn't have a great shot. But in the playoffs, something happens to that guy. He turns into an absolute beast. He's such a leader. He's won at every level. I don't think there's a player in the league who's won at every level the way he has in juniors and, you know, world juniors and Olympics. And he's everywhere he's gone, the guy's been a winner. And at some point, that's got to count for something, you know?
Well, I'll put the joke. Well, he's been Crosby's teammate.
Team Canada. There it is.
It was so easy. It was right there. Yeah. I was in the slot, coming down the slot. You put it right on my tape.
Exactly.
No, but he's a big time. He's a big game player.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't have enough of those guys. I think the Sharks. I mean, like I said, I think the Sharks. They're slowing down a little bit right now, though. But there's something. It's almost like they won a playoff series last year that they shouldn't have, and they finally kind of broke that, like, just jinxed or chokers, and, you know, they got Hurdle, and I think the Sharks are going to be something to be reckoned with.
I like that Thomas Hurdle kid. He's fun. You know, there's so many people, the purists, I totally get it. The game has so much tradition and integrity, so a lot of people are not necessarily crazy with Ovechkin's celebration or Yakupov did his center ice slide against the Kings, mind you, but he did score a goal with 1 second left to win the game, and Thomas Hurdle doing the between the legs thing against whoever it was it the Rangers? I think the game needs a little of that. I'm totally down with keeping, you know, the way the game's been for the last 100 years, because there is so much tradition and things are done a certain way. And when a kid comes up and he's a little out of line, you know that one of the veterans in the room is going to take him aside and say, "Hey, we don't do that here." Okay.
Right.
But the game, I think one of the reasons, and I've never understood why hockey is not the most popular sport in America. It's got everything you want. Good-looking young kids. They fight. They skate like the wind. They shoot. There's high scoring. There's everything you would want. The game needs a little more color. It needs Ovechkin smashing his body into the boards when he scores. It needs a little Thomas Hurdle dangle here and there. It needs just a little more flair to attract new fans, you know? And I think the NHL is doing a really good job at trying to, you know, broaden the product. 24/7, I love that show.
Oh, it's awesome. A great show.
Behind the scenes and, you know, NBC getting the contract. So we're getting there. I remember a time where I'd open my phone and go to, you know, like Yahoo Sports or something, and hockey wasn't even on the front page. It was NBA, MLB, NFL, NASCAR, you know, golf, and then you'd go to other sports, and hockey was there.
Well, I mean, it was building and building and building, and then when they actually had Lemieux and Gretzky at their peak, they made a deal with Sports Channel USA.
Yeah.
Which made no sense.
And then, what was it, a couple of years ago, they were on the Outdoor Network?
The Outdoor Network, which is now NBC Sports, which I think is... I actually worked on the ESPYs, and they have the Writer's Dinner, where I got to sit next to the president of ESPN.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, I'm never going to get this chance again.
Yeah.
I'm going to
fire away a few questions. It's game time.
Yeah. So I go, so why isn't hockey on ESPN? And he goes, you know, we wanted them back. He goes, but Bettman... held a grudge. They offered more money than NBC.
Man.
Now, I'm not one of these people that needs it on ESPN once a week for my own, like, personal self-worth.
Right.
But a lot of people, a lot of hockey fans do want that.
It's good for the game when it's on ESPN.
And it also, it frames the national talk. Like, people only know what's on ESPN.
Right.
You know, people think, oh, does hockey still exist because it's not on ESPN?
Right.
You know, when you're in a hotel and you get 10 channels, ESPN's one of them. MSNBC might not be.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
So you kind of want to be there.
Absolutely. And the same thing with, what was it? It wasn't the Outdoor Network at the time. It was called
Versus.
Versus, that's right.
Right.
Half the country doesn't get Versus.
No.
So, you know, that's just such, just based on a business deal alone, what a dumb
right.
deal to sign with a network where you knowingly going in know that half the country's not going to be able to watch your product.
But now it's built up because now more and more cables are bigger because now like Fox has their own, so now they have NBC. It's like building and building. I actually think it was a good deal to go on NBC.
Yeah.
Because now we have like, now like every playoff game is on.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they want to be like, that's like their number one sport.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. I mean, I wish it was on ESPN just to make everybody happier, but.
But yeah.
What are you going to do?
I mean, is there a commissioner in all of sports that's hated more than Bettman? I think that. And no,
I don't know. Well, as a Pittsburgher, I think Goodell's kind of hated. But I hate Goodell. I don't hate Bettman. Bettman kind of saved the Penguins.
I have no problems with any of them because I really don't understand the inner workings of, you know, the high echelon executives. But
right.
man, he gets boot whenever he comes out to, you know, present either the President's Trophy or the Stanley
right.
Cup or the draft. He gets booed like no other. It's
well,
hilarious.
They blame him for the strikes.
Right.
But, you know, it kind of saved the league. I mean, it definitely saved – because before the year off, mm-hmm. you know, there's like five teams going to compete.
Right. No, that's true.
You know, it would be baseball.
Yeah.
Which is no good. I mean,
when your team's out of it by January,
right.
how are you supposed to fill the seats, you know?
I have no idea. I mean, during the strike, it was like, it was like I missed it immensely. You know, that's what it was like. I'm the only one like sitting. I'm the only one sitting there. Like as soon as it got dark outside, or like this time around,
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh my god! When it was like the half
something's
season,
not right in the universe.
As soon as it gets dark outside, it's like at 4:30. I'm like, I should be watching hockey. What's going on?
What's going on here?
But it's like, you know, it's like how many people are watching like an exhibition game between the Hurricanes and the Panthers on like Fox Sports South 3?
Did you see what happened in the Detroit, Florida game the other night?
Yes.
That was unbelievable. Is your franchise that crappy that you don't have an extra pane of glass? Just for your listeners, there was a shot. It went over the net. It broke the glass right behind the net, and they replaced it with a sheet of like cardboard or whatever. Like
it looked like a piece of plywood. Like they were actually playing in Detroit it was a boarded up building. But it was
all the fans. All the fans behind the net were now staring at a piece of plywood.
What I heard though, I thought it was plywood because then I investigated it because I do jokes on the radio, local radio show in Pittsburgh. So I'm like, I want to see exactly.
Right.
They couldn't peel. It was glass, but they couldn't peel the paper off of it. So
like
it was like
protective.
They want to return it. Yeah. Like
oh
if no
God.
One touches it, we can bring it back.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Don't take the paper. What's funny is they actually won that game.
Yeah.
So the fans sitting there who've been to probably 20 games this year probably saw one win. They didn't get to see that one.
That's like 20 fans behind that piece of plywood.
Yeah, I'll tell you that's another thing too. Though they should it works both ways. In the like the Penguins and the Rangers, they sell out every game, but those seats go to the rich corporate people, so they're back having their free stolies, so the seats look empty.
Right.
And in Florida, then no one's buying those expensive seats.
Right.
So like it always looks empty. It's like always like that's
it's
such
ridiculous.
It's like an eyesore.
Yeah.
You know, you got. I'm sure you have stuff to do.
Not really.
So, what are you up to? What are your next project on?
Looking, you know, it's the wonderful thing called pilot season's coming up, come January. So I'll be auditioning for anyone who's dumb enough to hire me. Just trying to get through the holiday seasons without losing my mind.
Yes,
family, friend, alcohol, food. It's just all overwhelming.
And I guess to maintain, you have to look good, right?
What's that?
You're an action star, so you have to look good. You can't let yourself go. Is that like a stand-up comic / drunk that I am?
Now, you know how it is. You play hockey a couple times a week. You stay in pretty good shape. I try to go to the gym once in a while, but I go in spurts because it's
right.
just so boring. You lift a weight for 10 minutes. Nothing happens. You go home, have a sandwich, call it a day.
I know.
But no, I wanted to tell this Brooks-like story. I'm sure you know it, but this is one of the reasons I love hockey so much. In 2010, the Caps were playing, I think it was Montreal. They got knocked out in the first round, game 7. Montreal scores late in the game, win the game 2-1. Capitals blew a 3-1 game lead in that series. So the game's over. They're devastated. None of the players talked to the media. They all went home. It was pouring rain. Brooks Legge's in his car, and he sees this woman and her 14-year-old daughter with Caps jerseys on the side of the road in pouring rain trying to fix a tire. What does the guy do? He pulls over and changed the tire for them. I don't know of any other guy who's making $7 million a year, who's a superstar in his sport, who's just lost Game 7 and is gutted. He stopped in the pouring rain to change these people's tires. I think that's one of the greatest sort of unspoken ways to describe what a hockey player is all about.
Yes.
They're so selfless and not at all arrogant. Some of them are, of course. It's like, you know, it's like microcosm of society. But overall, those
Stick
dudes are cap
to Brooks Light.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Michael Vartan, please, thank you so much.
My pleasure. This was awesome.
I'm glad you liked it. Please come back anytime.
How about the Penguins and the Kings meet in the finals this year? I'd be down with that.
Oh, I would love it. I would feel bad. Because I would hate to be in the house where I was so happy to win the Stanley Cup to root against them.
Right,
but I would have to.
That'd be fun.
But yeah, I would love to. Let's go see a game. Are you going to go to the Sharks game on Thursday?
I'm not. They're playing who? Edmonton tomorrow, I think?
No, and the King Sharks.
Yeah.
On Thursday.
Oh, is it Thursday? Maybe I'll go. I don't know.
I'm trying to get some. We're StubHub, and we have a line on some tickets. But yeah, they don't come through. The StubHub's looking pretty good.
StubHub's awesome.
That's what I do. I go see the Penguins playing. Like, instead of driving to Anaheim, spending like $150 on tickets, the gas, the traffic, the bullshit, I go to Phoenix. I stub two seats, four rows back, $4 each.
$4?
I swear to God, they were,
wow.
I paid $8.
That's unbelievable.
Behind, I was.
What is this, 1934?
I was between me and you, between me and Anthony. That's where I was from the penalty box. Like, I was two rows.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was the greatest thing ever.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's why I never want to see the Phoenix relocated. Like, I can drive there and see great hockey for free, basically, you know, for the price of admission.
That's hilarious.
Well, once again, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For coming. For this has been Puck Off, and happy holidays, everybody.